This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The Web City Music Station, Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining me over the phone is an author. Her name is Reverend Dr. Anne Hayes Egan, and she has a brand new book called Building Communities of Hope, How People Are Making Positive Change. Dr. Anne Hayes Egan, thanks so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. How's everything going, Reverend?
It is going great. I'm based in New Mexico, and we get a lot of sun, so I'm fortunate to be looking at the mountain and the sunshine, so that's a real good thing.
Well, today is finally a warm day here in New York. It's been pretty cold lately, so I'll follow you on that, too. I'll give you a nod there. We're also in warm weather as well, somewhat, over here in New York. But tell me all about this brand new book you just released. It's called Building Communities of Hope.
Okay. Well, the book is an enlarged edition of, so it's a re-release. And Communities of Hope is really focusing on a lot of the great work that many people do that often is not as recognized as some of, you know, the bad news. And I've seen a lot of negative stories and negativity in the news and political space over the past couple of years. And I'd finished a dissertation and I have been working. I do health system development and community building consulting and research. And so I've been really fortunate to have worked with lots of people in the last couple of years that are just making a positive difference. And so that was the impetus for my deciding to write it.
Well, that's amazing, you know, and I'm glad that, you know, you were able to kind of get this out there, you know, not only a second time, but, you know, also even better, you know, this edition is packed full with so much, you know, information too, for those who are trying to better themselves, you know, and obviously make positive changes in society. You know, tell us about, you know, some of the things that people need to start doing.
Oh, wow. That is a great question. So I think that we're living in a time of so much change and turmoil, and it's caused by, you know, COVID and the health and the social and economic impacts of COVID, and the war in Ukraine has been just devastating so many of us just emotionally. And we also are looking at increased impoverization. We've got political divides. And so I think now is a time that it's critical that we get really clear about what our gifts are, what our mission is in life, and to partner with others to make a positive difference, because we can. And I see it done every day. And that can help mitigate some of the just helplessness that we can feel when we're listening to the news and we see the scope and the size of some of our challenges.
You know, it's so true, because, I mean, it's hard, though, you know, because we're never going to get rid of negativity. That's never going to happen in society. There's always going to be somebody negative and somebody who's a bummer. But, like, you know, if we could all just make a positive change somewhere, at least along the lines, the world would be a little bit better. You know, and I'm sure you've seen that as a reverend, too, you know, with your ministry, you know, to being able to make positive changes in your community, too.
Well, yeah, and one of the spiritual leaders that has really impacted me the most over the years is Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who recently passed away. And he lived through those horrible decades of apartheid in South Africa. And he walked through that and he led the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And so hope is not about, you know, unicorns and, you know, sparkly things, but hope often is forged in through really difficult circumstances. And then another one is the Dalai Lama, who had to escape Tibet. So we've got so many people that, you know, they lost a child, they've lived through cancer, they've lost jobs, they've seen their communities lose population, jobs, and capital, but yet they find a way to address it. Maybe it's at the policy level, maybe it's, you know, going out in force and, you know, going to a county commission meeting, or it's going to something, you know, in Congress. But we all have ways we can take action, and it really varies, because for somebody, it might be writing emails or picking up the phone.
Yeah. And even somebody dealing with, you know, cancer, you know, just the amount of stress that they're probably dealing with is unbearable, you know, and it's so hard to even find any positives with that. So tell me, you know, what's some advice you have for somebody who's going through such trauma like that?
Oh, that is really, I think, one of our foundational questions. And I have some dear friends right now. They had been married 50 plus years. They met at Ghost Ranch Retreat Center, fell in love like that, and got married. And she has multiple complicating conditions, myasthenia gravis and something that's like Parkinson's. And she has gotten increasingly frozen. And so he has been caring for her with some supports. And what most of us are doing, I mean, he has a whole community. And so he and she can't talk anymore. Oh, and so he and she can depend on a number of us who come and visit. Sometimes it's just sitting. Sometimes it's running an errand. And she still speaks with her eyes. She barely can move. And it to be a caregiver for a spouse who is slowly wasting away is so painful. Mm. And we can't change that. But what we can do is support both of them and tell them we love them and let them know that they're not alone. And sometimes that's the best thing to do is just you hold their hands and you say, you know, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. And what can I do to help?
Mm-hmm. And I agree. I mean, that's sometimes the only thing you do, especially someone who's dealing with Alzheimer's too. Like you've written a book called Moving Mama, you know, taking care of mothers during her final years with Alzheimer's. And, you know, speaking of which, my grandmother is now going through Alzheimer's, you know, so it's like, you know, trying to find the positivity in that and trying to, you know, make her, the rest of her life, you know, extra special too, is always just a challenge in general.
Oh, yeah. It really, really is. And, you know, I'm sorry, you're going through that with your grandmother.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My grandmother. Yeah. But you know, it's like, it's just, you know, it's you know, obviously it obviously creeps up and it's slow, you know, and you obviously know all about that too, because of, you know, your book that you released, you know, and it takes a toll, you know, on the family.
Oh, it takes a huge toll on the family. And there was somebody that wrote a book probably 20 years ago called A 36-Hour Day. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. And what we did with Mother, we had a good bit of help, which was really helpful. And we learned that we just had to just sort of go with wherever she went in terms of her own reality. We worked to try to make, you know, help her to be safe and get supports. And then if she was talking about having lived in some place or she couldn't remember something and she had to get back that night to Mama, we just had to go with it. And we made up stories. And oh, my goodness, we made up a whole lot with her. And then we also tried to just forget about everything except the present moment. And sometimes we'd get in the car and we would just drive her and we'd say, look at the bird. She'd say, oh, the bird. And but the last part of her life was really, really hard because physically she couldn't care for herself very much. Mm-hmm. And it's painful. It's painful to see, you know, somebody lose, they lose a good part of themselves, but then there's a part of themselves that I found stayed, and you never know quite what a day is going to bring.
Yeah, 100%. We're talking with Reverend Dr. Ann Hayes Egan, and the book again is called Building Communities of Hope, How People Are Making Positive Change. You know, Ann, you studied in humanities at Florida State University. Tell us, what made you want to study that?
I was always interested, Zach, in the humanities because I love to see how things are interrelated and how they affect each other. So I'm sort of a big systems thinker. And so after I got my master's, I went to work with Red Cross. And so I'm an old social worker, the old fashioned kind of social worker.
That's the best.
Worked on disasters. Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously you obviously seen devastation straight on from that, you know, from dealing with the Red Cross. How did you find the positive in that?
That came in really interesting ways. The Blizzard 78 just froze Cincinnati all over. And I went on some, disaster, trips to along the Ohio River.
Yeah.
And, what helped was we had a team leader and she was a volunteer, Betty Taylor, and she was a tough cookie. She was she was great. And she just helped mobilize us. And we went and made sure that every single household in this particular little village, this little town, got reached. And we did the same thing with the blizzard of 78. I was in charge of communications, and we had 3,600 calls. No, we had over 4,000 calls in about 36 hours. And what really helped was having people that led the process that could give you a clear picture of what was going on, what was expected of you, and what you could do. And then the second thing was supporting each other. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is, in disasters, you got to have rotation. Because when I moved out to New Mexico, one of my first projects was doing consulting with Santa Fe Cares, which is an AIDS organization. Santa Fe back 30 years ago was had the second highest proportion of HIV in the country, second only to San Francisco per capita. And so what we learned with these is that if you rotate so that you get time that you can, you know, take a day off, you take a break, when you rotate, that really helps. And then it's just supporting each other through it.
Yeah, 100%. And it's you know, trying to find the, you know, the strength to pull yourself out of this slump too. You know, when you were creating this book, you know, what were some of the moments in your life that you kind of pulled from, you know, to kind of create this?
Oh, I love that question. So one of the first people I thought about is the person I call my spiritual mother. That's Maggie Kuhn. She founded the Gray Panthers, and it was named that when Maggie was on an interview with Johnny Carson. And he talked about the Black Panthers. She said, "You're just like the Black Panthers, only around aging. So I'm going to call you the Gray Panthers." And it stuck. So I lived in shared housing with her, and I watched her raise hell in a very positive way. And they called her the little old lady in tennis shoes.
I love that.
And she was. And so she was one of the first people I thought about for this book. And then when I lived in Philadelphia, and this was when I was in shared housing with Maggie, I worked with the presbytery. And there was this kid, he was 11 or 12 years old. And he kept tugging on his parents saying, "I'm concerned about the homeless in Philadelphia. I'm concerned about it." He wouldn't stop. And he got his church involved. He got his parents involved. He got his church involved. We got the whole group of churches in Philadelphia involved. And then it became Trevor's Place. And 30 some odd years later, it is an organization that served tens of thousands of people.
Oh yeah, I know Trevor's Place. That's definitely a great organization too. You know,
it helps
so much. Yeah, it helps so many people out too.
Yeah,
it does. And it's a really great organization. It's so great that, you know, you've done so much humanitarian, you know, efforts too in society. It's really just such an honor to meet you too, about, you know, for the fact that you've just done so much in society too. You know, for this book though, specifically, you know, when they pick this up, what's the one thing you kind of want the readers, you know, and my audience kind of to know about it?
I want them to know that this was written to be a resource for them to really be their fullest, best, most engaged self, so that they can build their own reservoir of hope and capacity, and they can influence others for the greater good.
That is better said than ever. You know, honestly, that is a great way to kind of sum this up. Reverend, you know, what are you doing next? What's the next kind of big project you're working on?
Well, I am in the process of planning for a semi-retirement. I'm going to be watching how much consulting I do, because I'm working on my next book, and I'm planning on it being Raising Hell for the Greater Good.
I love that. I love that. Yes. Go from building communities to raising hell. That's so the best way to live.
I'm glad you like that. And then I want to travel a little more and spend some more time with friends and family.
That's the best, you know, and honestly, you know, cherish that too. That's the best way to live. Reverend Dr. Anne Hayes Egan, seriously, thank you so much for coming on the Zach Feldman Show. Again, the book is called Building Communities of Hope, How People Are Making Positive Change, and you can get it on Amazon. But Reverend, if they want to keep in touch with you, where can they go?
They can email me at ann@newventuresconsulting.net.
Awesome. Well, Reverend Dr. Anne Hayes Egan, thank you so much for coming on the Zach Feldman Show, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you. It's just a pleasure to work with you.
You too. The Webster Music Station, Z Radio Live, back with more Zach Feldman Show after this.
Want to hear more? Listen to the Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.